G'day and welcome to the Orange Peelers. Each week we'll join you and update the most controversial subjects in sport. I'm Stephen Senatiempo and I'm joined by James Willis. Jimmy, g'day.
G'day Steve, how are you mate?
Good mate. Now you're a Manly supporter. The thing we're going to talk about today obviously is Fortress Brookvale and the brawl that occurred between the Melbourne Storm and the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles on Friday night. What's your take on this whole situation?
Well, look, mate, Steve, I was at the ground, and I can tell you first up, it wasn't a good look for the game. At the time, the crowd and the atmosphere behind it, everyone thought, this is great, you know, bit of beer, fantastic. But the more I watched it on replay, the more I think, geez, that wasn't good. The way the Manly players ran in and everything like that, you know, there's not much I can say, mate. I'm a huge Manly fan, but at the same time, you know, the NRL had every right to take action.
Well, see, the interesting thing about this is that people in the mainstream sports media will tell you that this is what the fans go to see. And whilst you make the point yourself that while you're watching it, you think, how good's this? And I watched it on television and sort of thought, oh yeah, a bit of biff. But when you do look at it in the cold, hard light of day the next day and you think, hang on, is this really what we want to be portraying? Do you think the NRL's gone hard enough on them?
Well, I was talking to a bloke that used to referee junior footy, and he said, look, the thing that sets junior footy up and sets a precedent is the footy from the night before. So whether it's a Benji Marshall flick pass or a brawl like that, it normally reflects the play on the day after. So you would have guaranteed there would have been brawls on Saturday at grand finals during junior footy.
Well, it's an interesting point that you make, because if this kind of thing happened at junior footy, we'd be talking about season-long or even lifetime bans in some situations. These blokes are professionals. They're getting paid a lot of money to do this. Shouldn't they be under a higher level of scrutiny than junior players are?
Correct. And look, there was one on the weekend that I've been told about where four players were involved in a brawl during a grand final. They were sent off from the field, an under-16s game, sent off the field. They weren't allowed to come back on at the end and get their medals. They just weren't allowed back on. The referee said, nope, they will not have any part in that. I mean, if that sets a message for under-16 kids, surely full-grown men can accept the same sort of thing.
Exactly. Now, let's have a look at what has actually happened. The NRL has handed down $50,000 fines to each club. $50,000 on the face of it seems like a lot of money, but when you consider what these players are being paid, not a lot at all.
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, mate, you know, the sponsors will fork out or something. I don't think a money thing is an issue. At the end of the day, one of these teams could most likely win the competition. And how much do you win for winning the comp? What is it, $500,000, $1 million? How much?
I think it's about $500,000, that's right.
Well, yeah. $500,000. I mean, $100,000 or $50,000 of that is nothing, mate. Really, at the end of the day, what's going to come down to hurt them is the suspension of players.
Well, but let's look at that then. If you have a look at where we're led to believe that 12 people are going to be sanctioned because of this, including two trainers, one from Melbourne and one from Manly.
Yeah.
The players that we know of, Glenn Stewart and Adam Blair, the two main protagonists in this altercation, have both been referred straight to the judiciary. So we're not really really sure what sort of suspensions they're going to get. Only that Adam Blair is being charged with striking and contrary conduct. So he could be gone for 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, listen, I've got a feeling that they're going to give Stewart and Blair 4 weeks no matter what. And with Adam Blair, he's got a terrible record beforehand. Glenn Stewart's been in trouble before, but Adam Blair's had prior offences. He is known as a grub of the game, Steve, let's be honest. So if he's got two different charges, including that striking charge, I reckon he could be rubbed for six, mate.
Well, that could be right. Now, Brett Stewart, who is using the excuse that he ran in to defend his brother, is likely to get 1 week with an early guilty plea on contrary conduct, but he hasn't been charged with striking. Probably lucky that he missed when he went for the big dive.
Yeah, look, the thing with Stewart is, mate, I mean, someone said to me the other day that if you use your brother as an excuse, you know, I don't think it worked for the Ibrahams. It's not going to work for the Stewarts, let's be honest here, Steve.
No, that's right. I think the biggest loss for Manly is going to be Kieran Foran, who's likely to get 1 week with an early guilty plea. But having said that, these players are going to miss the last game of the regular season, which is going to have very, very little impact on their season whatsoever.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Broncos have got to beat them up at Suncorp by 90 points, which, let's be honest, even if Manly threw their Toyota Cup team up there, which are running last as well, it's not going to happen.
No, that's right.
What we need to think about here, basically, is more of a momentum thing, Steve. I mean, Manly played fantastic on Friday night. Melbourne were off their game a bit, but Manly dominated from start to finish. The biggest thing here is you lose your 5'8", you lose your fullback. They've already lost David Williams. Will Hopewade might not be back this week either. So suddenly there's this massive backline shuffle. Now, Robertson, I'm led to believe that you've told me before that basically Robertson should be okay if he pleads guilty.
Well, that's right. They're talking that he'll miss suspension if he makes the early guilty plea.
Yeah, so look, if he's back, that's a great one, but we're still going to have to replace Brett Stewart David Williams as well, plus Glenn, and the other one as well is Darcy Lussick. Now, a lot hasn't been said about this. Lussick threw the first punch at the beginning, but the thing that got him in the end was that second brawl over the sideline. When he ran in with those three other Manly players, he was throwing punches on the ground, mate. So that's what's going to get him. He'll go for 3 weeks, I reckon.
Well, they're talking 3 weeks, that's right, even with an early guilty plea for the contrary conduct and striking charges for Lussick. The big key here is the real issue is, sure, Lussick's gone for 3 weeks, but is he that big a loss for the Sea Eagles?
Oh, he had a good game on Friday night, but to be honest, they can do without him. They've got a good couple of young back rowers that are coming through that can replace him.
So really what we're talking about here is Glenn Stewart and Adam Blair for both teams, because nothing is going to affect their final... Well, none of these suspensions, apart from those two main protagonists, are going to affect their final series.
Now, listen, the other one as well, and this really bugs me, Steve. I mean, you look at all the players charged, no Hinchcliffe. What happened to Ryan Hinchcliffe? He started the whole thing. He put the first elbow in. Why isn't he on there?
Well, I'm led to believe... I mean, the Daily Telegraph are saying that Ryan Hinchcliffe will be charged with striking.
Well, he's not on the official list from the NRL.
Okay.
So unless something happens down the track, he's going to get away with it. And at the end of the day, I know that you can't blame him for the whole thing, but at the end of the day, if he didn't elbow Darcy Lussick in the head, then none of this would have happened.
No, that's probably right. My concern with this is that the NRL has tried to make it look like they're being tough without really being tough.
Mm.
These two teams are still going to feature prominently in the final series. Nothing is really done to affect them. $50,000, we've already discussed, that's nothing. The players they're going to lose are going to be back for the finals anyway, with the exception of maybe Brett Stewart and Adam Blair. Has the NRL really done enough here?
I don't know. Look, 50 grand is a lot of money. I'm just... Look, as David Gallop said, he was trying to think of the last time that he had to fine or come down so harshly on clubs for on-field behaviour, not for salary cap indiscretions, not for off-field behaviour, but for an actual brawl in the game. Now, to be honest, I mean, Steve... You know, I'm only 22, but in my history of watching NRL, it takes you a while to think back at a brawl that you've seen that's bigger than that.
Well, I can honestly say, outside of State of Origin, I have never seen a brawl to that extent.
Yeah.
Nothing that big. That is the truth. So that's why I say the NRL hasn't gone hard enough here. And another point that I think we're overlooking is the fact that a number of Melbourne players from the bench crossed the line into the field of play. Now, sure, time had been called off, but doesn't that mean that they fielded more than 13 players? And shouldn't that entitle them to a two-point deduction?
And I think if Melbourne had have won that game, Manly would have put in a formal complaint about that straight away. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Manly won. I do notice here that Sissa Wacker, who was on the bench at the time, the winger, has been charged as well with, I believe, yes, a grade two. So he might even miss a week as well, Steve.
Yeah, I got to say, until Friday night, I'd never heard of him, so I don't know how big a deal that is.
No, neither had I. But I mean, he is a starting player for the Storm, and he is in their 17. So if they lose him, it's just another loss. The thing as well, I think what we need to consider here is that even though the Manly players ran over, and it was a terrible look for the game, and look, Brett Stewart did come in with a swingy arm. Darcy Lussick threw more punches on the ground. Look, if no one had run over from the Manly team, who was going to break that brawl up? Who was going to stop it? The trainers, there was two trainers, a Manly and a Melbourne trainer, just sitting there watching the whole thing. Neither of them was going to come in, Steve.
Well, look, you know, I'm a pretty big bloke, Jimmy, but if Glenn Stewart and Adam Blair are going at each other, I'm not going to get between them.
So what do you do? Like, do you just watch them go? I mean, if the Manly... On the field, if there's a brawl, who breaks it up? The other players.
Generally, that's right.
So if the Manly players hadn't run over, the brawl would have kept going.
Now, Manly have... form as being vexatious, they'd be called vexatious litigants in the legal system. Whenever whenever a penalty is handed down to Manly, they always cry poor and always cry victimisation. What's going to happen after this?
I don't know. I mean, it was talked up too much to begin with. I mean, the fact that David Gallop had a security guard at the game. Look, you know what? The thing is with Brookie, and you go to a Brookie Oval match, 90-95% of the fans are Manly fans. I reckon I saw four Melbourne Storm fans there on Friday night out of 20,000 people. The crowd penalties are ridiculous, mate. The penalty count, I think, was 8-2 in the end, and six of them would have been crowd penalties to Manly. There's that much hype about it, and the thing is, this whole thing about everyone hating Manly always comes back, and they do have off-field incidents with, you know, Watt Mao and Brett Stewart and getting drunk at start of seasons and that sort of thing, but I think the amount of hype before this match, something was always going to happen, and it did in the end.
Yeah, okay. So, well, what do we do? Do we blame the NRL marketing department then?
No, it's got nothing to do with it. To be honest with you, mate, this is always going to happen. It's happened now, and what they need to do is make sure that it doesn't happen again. So the first step, as you and I have discussed before, is that when a player comes off the field, he's escorted by a trainer, or there's an actual match official. Now, even something like, in soccer, and it happens in NRL as well, but I noticed in soccer they have the official with the official time and the official substitutions and everything like that.
The fourth official, that's right.
Yep. Correct. Now, surely someone like that could say, righto, mate, you're off, you're up the tunnel.
Rather than
have Glenn Stewart walk off in his own regard.
And a lot has been said about the fact that the referee in this particular instance did make a mistake in having both players standing there together as he was sin-binning him in the first place. What he should have done is done what they did the second time when they were sent from the field, is called them out separately so that the first player is well and truly up the tunnel before the second one follows him up.
Yeah.
But this is the point I get to. I think Glenn Stewart has a lot to answer for here because he ambled off the field deliberately waiting for Adam Blair to catch up to him.
Well, hold on. He was walking off and, maybe he was waiting for Blair, but you can't just blame him because Adam Blair was walking past. Now, Glenn Stewart didn't say the first thing. Adam stopped, turned back, and that's when he said, let's get it on. And that's what started the whole thing in the first place. Glenn should have run off. That's A, and B, he should have been escorted off by the trainers and say, mate, you're up the tunnel, let's go, let's get this 10 minutes out of the way, you can come back on and start playing footy.
Jimmy, that's a bit like blaming the coach when players play badly. The coach can't go out there and kick the ball and make the tackles for them.
No, it's not, because this is an objective thing. This is a 10-minute sin bin. He's been told to come off the field. Now, technically, him dawdling, the ref could have said, mate, go, or the penalty's going against you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a time-wasting thing.
Okay. All right. Look, you're a Manly supporter. I'm a West Tigers supporter. We're never going to agree on this, but my take on it is that Manly has more to answer here than the Melbourne Storm do.
Listen, there's one thing I should say before we wrap up, Steve, and this is completely different and it won't be mentioned, but after the injury to David Williams, look, we have the technology for it now. Clubs have the funding. Surely every single club in the NRL that has a home game next season should have a Medicab present. I mean, that should be a mandatory requirement, honestly. To have 8 blokes carrying David Williams off the field with a stretcher when he's got a broken neck, I mean, it's not a good look, mate. It's not the 1970s. We need to change that.
No, absolutely. And we should also point out that Billy Slater, in a great show of sportsmanship, did actually cradle David Williams for quite some time before the trainers got there and did keep other players away from him. Because he knew that there was a problem. So hats off to Billy Slater.
But he did ruin it in the 60th minute by elbowing Dale Cherry Evans in the head. So just quietly, Steve, just thought I'd let you know that.
Yeah, but you know, everybody hates halfbacks. You've been listening to the Orange Peelers. We'll be back next week with another controversial topic in sport.
See you, Steve.
See you, mate.